ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Well, for the fifth or sixth day in a row, are we going to talk about Fields or Dalton, Lazor or Nagy calling plays? I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
Something go on this week at Halas Hall?
No, actually, nothing's gone on at Halas Hall.
Well,
a lot of nothing. A lot of talk and word salad and all that kind of stuff.
It Hall of Fame word salad. He stepped up his word salad game. If he can step up the offensive play calling like he did his word salad game, you got playoff tickets to sell.
It's amazing. I mean, and thank goodness it's a team like Detroit because even though, I mean, Detroit's actually played fairly well in a couple of games.
And for 66 yard field goal beat them last week at the at the end of the game against Baltimore.
Yeah, and from what I see, and I didn't see it, but everybody said that there should have been a delay of game there, which would have pushed him back 5 yards. There's no way he's kicking a 71 yarder. The 66 yarder bounced off the crossbar.
Longest in NFL history. Yeah. So give him props. Let's rewind it. I mean, our buddy Cap, right out of the box on the NBC Sports post game with Olin and those, immediately calls for the firing, and he's got Pettine being the head coach, and he's got the whole scenario down. Again, the Bears have never fired a coach in season.
No.
And then the Bears blog has a scoop that if they lose tomorrow to the Lions, Nagy's out. McCaskey's will do un-McCaskey like things and fire a coach in season. I mean, think about that. If this truly is a win or else game for Matt Nagy, what the hell is going on in Halas Hall?
Yeah.
Because you should wake up and roll out of bed and beat this team. Even Matt Nagy's done it. I mean, look at the numbers Matt Nagy's offense has put up against the woeful Lions since he's been the head coach of the Bears. So this is really no litmus test. If he wins, and if the Bears win convincingly, even though they're only a 3-point favorite, you were supposed to do that. You're at home and on top of everything else. If you lose, it just reinforces what everyone thinks anyway, right?
Sure.
Unless the defense falls apart and the offense actually looks good. I don't.
Yeah.
But this is a week, Fred. You've been around this thing forever, so have I. I mean, I saw comparisons to Mark Trestman. I don't know that Mark Trestman was in over his head. And the inmates were kind of running the asylum. They kind of walked all over the coach. But it seemed like he had more of a grasp on play calling and things compared to what we're seeing with Matt Nagy under siege.
Right. Yeah, there's no doubt. And could there have been a better week maybe for the Bears to have the announcement that they won the bid for Arlington Heights? Because it took some of the discussion away. From everything else, just a little bit
until we found out it's a game time decision for the quarterbacks, and I'm not telling you who the play caller is, which in fact tells you who the play caller is.
You would think, right?
If he's keeping the play calling, he would be up there beating his chest saying, "I'll get this right. It's on me."
Yeah,
he's not calling the plays tomorrow. But yeah, the whole Arlington Heights thing. I mean, before, like 2 days before that announcement, it had to be on Monday. I tweeted out, "Can they get their deposit back on Arlington Park because they won't need the increased capacity even 6 years from now?"
No,
the way things are going, just bizarre in every way, shape, and form. But hey, they're in the bunker. We're in this together. We care. They care. The players care. I asked them what they think. I love that. How many times you heard, Coach, this is not a democracy? And then he's asking the offense,
right?
Hey, what do you guys think? Got any ideas? And Nick Foles, he's got some thoughts, but Justin Fields said, "I just kind of sat there." And Cole Kmet, "Hey, how can you use me? How about call him? Give me a few targets."
Yeah,
I mean that. Oof.
And they're all slope. Right. And the week after they say we need to use the tight ends more, they gave him, I think, 4 targets.
Oh, for
and
love
three of them were Kmet, and I think one was to and Jesse James, we still have not seen yet. Who actually we saw in preseason. He came over from Pittsburgh, a team that actually had a winning tradition. Maybe he knows a little bit about winning games. That would be nice. If you want to talk about it, 312-332-3776. There's a lot to discuss as with that, but it's weird because from immediately after the postgame, Justin Fields said, Well, I didn't get it over here right away. I had to have my hand looked at. And they asked him how. He goes, my hand's fine. There's no problem. Yeah. And then he had it done again. And all week long, they say, well, we'll see how his hand is. He said after the game his hand was fine, unless he was pulling the old, you know, don't ever tell anybody what your injuries are and things like
upper
that.
Upper body, lower body.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that, by the way, that starts
next
week.
Both.
That starts next week. The hockey show is back next week, 10 o'clock on Saturdays. The Blackhawks 1-1 in the preseason so far, I think, right?
Yeah. I don't know. See, a hand can be upper body or lower body, depending if you're just the hand by your side. Or is it up here scratching your head?
Yeah, no, it could be. 312-332-3776. So they play the Lions, and the Lions have been, like you said, they lose last week with the 66-yard field goal as time ran out. In the first game of the year this year, they were down big to the Niners, I want to say by 17, 18. No, it had to be more than that. And they scored two touchdowns in like the last 2 minutes.
To make it
interesting, make it exciting in Detroit. But yeah, they're a team that the Bears have had their number. Mitch Trubisky was able to pass well against them. The Nagy offenses ran well against them. And I know that in Detroit, they are always changing. I mean, every single couple of years, there's a new coach and things like that. But this is a game that one of the poll questions we have out there today is, if you were down to your last dollar, and after Manchester United drew against Everton, I might down to my last dollar. It sucks when you have a three-team parlay and you take Man U and they lose the first game of the day. And it's like, the other games are wasted.
Who saw that coming?
Yeah, well, I guess some people, but you know, you have to be from England or something. I don't know. So anyway, if you're down to your last dollar, which would you bet? Bears beating the Lions or the White Sox beating the Astros in the American League Division Series next week? I know without a doubt where my money's going. We're going to talk some White Sox before we're out of here. We're here till 11.
Home field? Can we get home field?
Yeah. Well, you know, in the whole month of September, before this 5-game winning streak, their longest win streak was 2. That's why you didn't win home. That's why you're not going to get home field.
Right.
I mean, 2. You lose 2 out of 3 to the Royals, the A's, the Angels, and the Tigers. I mean, okay. So maybe it's just being a White Sox fan that you're, you know,
you don't get
your hopes up too high. You know,
that's this White Sox team. And,
yeah.
You know, we've been talking about it forever. Which one's showing up? And I know Jerry Reinsdorf, anything can happen. Well, true, especially when your team's as inconsistent as this White Sox team. You don't know if it's going to be the team scoring runs. You assume the starting pitching is okay, but you don't even know who the third game starter is at this point. I guess, you know, Tony La Russa, even though Carlos Rodon threw 5 good innings on Wednesday, he sounds pessimistic when it comes to Rodon being part of this thing.
Well, you know what, though? Everybody's talking about his velocity being only 92. I think it was 92.6, 92.7, whatever it was. But it's funny because we talk so much about one of the best pitchers we ever saw in our lifetime, and that was Greg Maddux. And Greg Maddux always said, you know, one of the best pitches is a well-placed fastball. And if, you know, Carlos Rodon at 92 can place his fastball and throw his slider in there, you can pitch in big games. It's been proven you don't have to throw 95, 98, 99 miles an hour to win games. You can throw less than that. And everybody's making such a big deal about his velocity. Now, I understand because he was throwing 96, 97 earlier this
year.
Yeah,
that's not who he is, right?
Right?
I mean,
right.
Again, and you've had the shoulder issue. And a couple times a season, it's fatigue, it's whatever, however they've described it. Obviously, when you see that kind of decrease in velocity, something is going on.
Yeah.
And if you could get the Greg Maddux 2 inches off the plate called as a strike, it would probably help too.
You're right. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So we'll talk Bears and we'll talk White Sox. We're here till 11 o'clock. Then it is Chicago's College Tailgate coming in at 11 o'clock. We've got White Sox Weekly later on today. The White Sox play at 6 o'clock. Don't forget tomorrow, the White Sox play at 2:10 because they try to get everybody to play at the same time. So there's no, you know.
So everyone has to put their regulars in and no one can see how an earlier game is going and you know, take the foot off the gas if you're starting at 3 o'clock because the 1 o'clock games are about over and creates a little bit more tension.
And here for those people who may have gone to sleep before the stuff ended, here's how the American League wild card looks right now. The Yankees are one up for the first wild card spot. Boston's a game behind them. with the second spot, and Seattle and Toronto are both one back of Boston. Every team with two games left. So it's amazing right now. The Yankees play in Tampa Bay. Boston's at Washington. The Mariners are hosting the Angels, and Toronto's at Baltimore. But Baltimore did the Red Sox in a couple times earlier this week. So it's really interesting watching the American League wild card and see how that's going to play out. And then again, the Astros one game better than the White Sox. The Astros are at Oakland, or hosting Oakland, and the White Sox have Detroit again tonight.
Both big, White Sox and Houston, both big, large favorites today. But things went the right way yesterday, right, with Houston losing. Here's Clayton Kershaw leaves the game yesterday with the same forearm injury that he was out a couple months ago, and he basically said he's out of the postseason. So as much as, 538 had the Dodgers as the heaviest weighted odds-on favorite team to win the World Series, they've got a ton of weapons. It's not just Clayton Kershaw show, for sure. But, boy, you talk about damaging information or turn of events last night for the Dodgers. So anything can happen these final two games.
Yeah, there's 162 games, and it comes down for four teams. It comes down to the last two games of the year. That's what I love about baseball. And that's what, adding that second wild card team did. Because look over in the National League. I mean, with the way the Dodgers and the Giants have played, if there was only one wild card team, there would have been no interest at all. Instead, you saw a Cardinals team win what? Now they've won what, 20 of 21?
Crazy.
Yeah, they won.
Absolutely crazy.
They came back and won again last night. The Cubs were winning that game, and the Cardinals came back to win it 4-3. But that's going to be fun. That game is going to be on Wednesday. The American League wild card game is going to be Tuesday. But everything could be pushed around, because Monday could be a fun day with tiebreakers and all other kind of things. So we'll talk about the Sox. We'll talk about the Bears. We'll do a lot of Bears. Yesterday, I had a chance to go on out to one of the Pride stores I went and saw Carmen and Yurko. They did their Friday football podcast.
I saw your flight of beers that you tweeted out.
Well, I had one single one before I knew they had flights. So my deal is always two beers. So if you get a flight, you saw the beers are small. Yeah, the beers are small, so it's like a flight is like four beers, but they're all like 3 ounces or 4 ounces. So you put add that up. Yeah, you get a taste of some of a bunch of their beers, and they were really good. And I went out there, but on Thursday I was listening to Carmen and Yurko, like you always should, from 10 until noon. And both Carmen and Yurko had some really interesting stuff about the Bears and play calling and things that the Bears did last year at the end when Bill Lazor was calling plays, not doing so much this year. And then also Carmen talked to Yurko about, well, what if you were the OC? So we come back, we'll play that, we'll take your phone calls, talk some Bears and Lions. The Bears are getting ready. We're not sure who's getting ready. I think the only one out is Nick Foles, right? It's going to be
that earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Everything was on the table.
Right. They were all available.
I think Bob Avellini's phone number was on the table.
Sure. He'll be ready. He'll be out there. No problem. 312-332-3776. Huebner and Hanley here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
So we'll get into our Bears conversation in just a minute. 312-332-3776. You want to jump on in. The White Sox go into the postseason. We've known that for a long time. We'll find out in the next couple days if they're going to be here or in Houston when the series starts on Thursday. But if you want to be part of a Change the Game rally, listen up. Waddle and Sylvie will broadcast from Guaranteed Rate Field inside the Shy Sox Bar and Grill Monday afternoon. It's part of the Change the Game rally from 3 until 7. Admission is free, but you've got to get a ticket in advance. Go to whitesox.com/CTG. Live music, prizes, the speed pitch machine. Come celebrate the Sox in the playoffs. That's Monday afternoon with Waddle and Sylvie at the Shy Sox Bar and Grill on ESPN 1000. The guys will be there. And so Sylvie's taking his sons. I know that Mason's becoming a big Sox fan, and it's got to hurt Sylvie to the core.
Kill him.
But he's playing it up well. 312-332-3776. We talk some Bears and the Lions. One of our other poll questions, we've got two of them. And the second one is, if both Dalton and Fields are available, which quarterback would you start on Sunday? You can go to Twitter at ESPN 1000 and vote there, or you can give us a call here at ESPN 1000, 312-332-3776. And that's what John did out in Evanston. John, what's happening this morning?
Hey, guys. Before we get into the Bears talk, I'm a big Premier League soccer fan. I like Chelsea a lot.
They got a game this afternoon. Who they're playing?
They're playing right now. Oh, they're winning 1-0.
Okay. Early. Okay.
I think they're going to give Liverpool a run for their money this year. As far as the Bears go, you got to, you know, if you want to have any chance of winning some of these games, they're going to be real tough to begin with. You got to go with Dalton if he's healthy, because he knows the playbook. He seems to get rid of the ball relatively easily without getting in a lot of trouble back there. And he doesn't key on one receiver. He goes to whoever's open, and he doesn't hold on to the ball. And what you saw with Evans, what you saw with Fields last week, was he didn't get a chance to look for anybody because the pass rush was killing him. And you could see right away that he doesn't feel comfortable, and he doesn't know the playbook well enough to know, you know, he doesn't audible. I mean, he can't. He doesn't know the playbook well enough to audible into another play.
But, John, isn't that on the coaches to make it easy enough for him to know the playbook enough, you know what I mean, going into his first start?
Well, you know, the simple fact is, I think it's too early for him to start this year. He is a rookie, and these defenses, they're playing so many teams this year that are playoff teams already, that these veteran defenses are making it tough for him to see what's coming, because they're hiding their blitz packages until the last possible second, and they're shooting everybody but the kitchen sink at this guy, and they're making him stay in the box. And they're just rattling his cage back there. I mean, even if they don't get to him, he's being circled, and it's like feeding time at the zoo. I would wait a while before I start this kid. I want him to be as comfortable with this and know as much of the playbook as possible before he starts. And if this kid's the future of the club, and gives us the best chance to win down the road, you want this kid to be as prepared as possible when he starts. And right now, it's just not the best time for him to start.
John, appreciate the call as always. Brian, your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I guess the bigger question is, and it's been raised and tweeted about and written about, and is Andy Dalton starting more about winning a game this weekend? Or is it more important to get Justin Fields out there after 47 yards and 9 sacks and just everything that could have gone wrong went wrong? Is it more important to get the franchise quarterback out there and get rid of that bad taste in his mouth and make him feel confident that he can do it? You know, is this really a win or else for Matt Nagy? And if so, he's probably like John, would, you know, wishing, hoping against hope that the bruised knee is good enough for Andy Dalton to go. Because the bigger criticisms were that he was running the Andy Dalton offense for Justin Fields and didn't know how to adjust to two entirely different quarterbacks, right? So I don't know if you buy into that, Fred, that you want Justin Fields out there hopefully doing Justin Fields-type things and not taking 9 sacks, because Bill Lazor said that their offense certainly had options in which they could have given more protection and helped Chip and everything on the
right.
offensive line.
Right.
I mean, the fact that he said that, but basically said we didn't make those adjustments, I thought that was rather interesting on Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
But you ask Bill Lazor a question, he'll give you a direct answer. Either one of these quarterbacks should be able to beat the Lions, because this offense is allowing, or this defense, he talked about it, they're allowing 384 yards per game and 6.7 yards per play. So even Nick Foles should be able to go out there and do something against the Lions. But do you really believe this is more about big picture or small picture? Near term, win a game, or big picture, Justin Fields needs to get out there and you know, erase from the memory bank last Sunday.
I understand how the fans and the media want Justin Fields, because if he is the future, you want him to get out there, play now, and all that stuff. It takes a lot for an organization to say, listen, we're not going to worry about winning. We're going to worry about developing the quarterback. It's difficult to do, especially three games in. They decided right off the bat when they got Fields that we're not going to play him.
Right.
And that's what they said, because you've got 53-man roster. You've got all the fans who, if you go, you know, what, let's see, now 2-15, if you go, you know, 3-14, but you develop him, he'll be better in years in the future, that's fine. But the guys that are on the team now would just be, you know, it'd be awful. Everybody tries to win in the NFL every week. And I know it's hard for fans to come to grips with it, but it is about winning every week. It is about winning and trying to develop at the same time. That's why they had said that they're going to have Fields wait and learn how to play in the NFL behind Nagy. Now, I understand people say, hey, others have done it. The Cowboys did it with Aikman, and it's been done with Manning and things like that. But the Bears decided that's not the way they were going to go. And I don't know that they're going to change their mind three games into the season. So I think for them, winning, whoever gives them the best chance to beat the Lions. And I agree with you. Either one should beat the Lions.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you should realistically think Justin Fields, because you've talked up about how ahead of the learning curve he is, not that he's there yet.
Right.
But he should be able to go out there, and certainly if you cut down the sacks, you get sacked three times or four times, not nine times. But, you know, if you gave him better protection, called plays where he got out of the pocket, called plays to his strength, he should be able to go out there, improve appreciably over last week, and also you should win the game. If you don't win this game, you're looking at another six-game losing streak. You see, I mean, look at that. You got the Raiders and Waddle and Sylvie and a couple of listeners are going to go out there and hopefully see the Bears win in Las Vegas.
But yeah.
No gimmies. I mean, you got Raiders on the road. You got Packers, Tampa, and 49ers. You're back to last year where you're on a six-game slide, and the year prior to that, you had a four-game losing streak. And how would Matt Nagy survive another three-game losing streak starting with the Lions? I mean, make it a four-game losing streak.
You're right. We'll grab another call in a second, but first I wanted to play this. This was Carmen the other day. Carmen, of all the guys here at the station, Carmen's probably the bigger stat guy or one of the biggest stat guys on the air. And he was talking about stats. Now, he said he didn't want to get too much into it, but some of the numbers he had about pre-snap motion and a bunch of other things that the Bears didn't do much with Matt Nagy last year but did with Bill Lazor, I thought were very interesting. This was from Thursday on the Carmen and Yurko show on ESPN 1000.
I don't want to beat a dead horse too much with the whole pre-snap motion statistics and the play-action statistics. I've talked about it a lot lately, but quite frankly, there was a lot in the build-up to this season about what those numbers are starting to mean in the NFL when you look at recent data. Warren Sharp in his preview book wrote a lot about wrote a lot about it. I had referenced the article from last Friday. You were gone. Meller and I talked about it a little bit, that 538 did. Statistically, just kind of analyzing what a key indicator in wins and losses right now, offensively, pre-snap motion and play action, what it means to success rate and what it means to win. So I don't want to belabor it too much, but I will tell you that when you look at weeks 12 through 17 last year, Yerk, when Bill Lazor was calling plays, there were increases, Yerk, and the offense did get better. They did play some horrid defenses. I will give you that. But if you look at, since the start of 2019, where the Bears rank, they're nearly dead last in the league in pre-snap plays per game, Yerk. Their success rate is also not very good, and they gained just 4.89 yards per play on those plays, which ranked 27th in the league. When you look at weeks 12 through 17 last year, that number jumped up to the point where they were ranked 20th. They went from 20.74 plays per game to 26. And their gains were better. Their gains went all the way from 27th in the league to 12th best in the league.
The gains.
Their gains and their play action really increased. Do you know when he was calling plays last year, it was 14.5 per game? The only team that ran more play action last year, weeks 12 through 17, than the Bill Lazor-led Bears offenses were Andy Reid's Chiefs, who did it 16.5 times per game compared to the Bears 14.5. So you see what I'm saying? Like, we did see more of it, and we saw gains in their offense, both in their yards per play and in their points per game, when they did use some of that stuff, that seems to be a pretty good indicator of how successful you could be offensively.
Now, I was listening to one of the Niner games. I think it was the Sunday night game, which, oh, my God, 37 seconds, that damn Aaron Rodgers.
Well, everyone pointed out that Aaron Rodgers moved them down the field and had more yards in 37 seconds than the Bears had in 60 minutes.
Yeah, he tortures you too now, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, and it's not even Aaron. It's not as bad. Aaron Rodgers, it was nice that he did it for them with Davante Adams, but also the Niners defense. You know where he's going. What? Why do you not? Whatever. How do you let him get behind you? It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, they explain that when Kyle Shanahan was with, I want to say it was Tampa or Atlanta, wherever he was, and he was sitting in on some offensive meetings, and they were talking about how important it is. And every time somebody goes in motion, that 4 to 5 guys on the defense have to move. And he said, well, then there should always be motion on every play. And if you watch the Niners, there's guys running all over the place. There's always motion. And because of that, they're one of the more creative offenses in the league. Now, they haven't been scoring a lot lately because Jimmy Garoppolo has similar problems to, you know, I think a little bit to what Mitch Trubisky had in the past. But he has not always as accurate and everything like that. But they always have openings. They have so many weapons and things like that. But play action is big, motion is big, and you didn't see any of that last week. And it'd be nice to see some of it, no matter who the quarterback is, when the Bears play Detroit tomorrow. Callers, hang in there. We'll grab you when we come back. 312-332-3776. Talking Bears and Lions. Huebner and Hanley here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
So we're talking some Bears and Lions here on ESPN 1000. You want to jump in, 312-332-3776. I'm doing Bears postgame tomorrow, but it's going to be a little bit different because the Bears start at noon. The White Sox start at 2. So whenever the White Sox are done, we'll do like a Bears/White Sox season ending talk, probably like 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock tomorrow. So after you get either aggravated or really happy about the Bears game, you can relax, have dinner, and then give me a call later from 6 to 8 here on ESPN 1000 tomorrow night. And I would think, I'm thinking, Brian, that, you know, probably 75% chance the Bears fans are going to be happy tomorrow. But then a lot of them will say, yeah, but it's a win. It's only Detroit. Let's see what happens against the Raiders. So,
well, I saw smarter people than I put together, you know, the math part of this.
Yeah.
They have a 56% win probability going into this game. And a 53% chance to cover the 3. You'd like a little higher win probability, I guess.
Yes, you would.
The Detroit team.
Yeah.
That seems to allow almost 7 yards per play.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you definitely would. Our guy, Bear fan Bob, out on the roads as always. Bob, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. I hope you enjoy the weekend, even though it's going to rain.
Yep.
Anyways, I like your question, your Twitter poll question. Unfortunately, Fields should start. You don't put a rookie quarterback out there, you know, throw him out to the Lions last week and then bench him this week. You get him out there and you try and build some confidence with this kid. You know, we've already seen the Bears do that with Mitchell Trubisky. We don't need to see a repeat. Anyways, leading into what I was saying, since we have a legend in his own mind of a head coach, Coach Nagy, if he didn't pull his head out of his rectum this weekend and get some tight end help over there with our 99-year-old left tackle, Brockers is going to be in there, and I don't care who the quarterback is because it's going to get over, and it's going to get over real quick. You know, I'm sure Detroit's going to be watching film on how fast those guys got in there and took out Fields, and they're going to do the same thing. You know, you got to have a 2 or 3 tight end set to help this kid and put him in some max protect. I also look for the defense to do real well. I think Coach Desi has done a real good job with Quinn and the other guys. I look actually for a pick 6 out of this game. You know, I don't know how Eddie Goldman's going to do. I hope he doesn't get injured. Never mind. And we'll see what happens. I'm going to go to the game. I hope we don't lose it. You know, this is kind of a pick'em game in my mind. But let's hope for a win, and we'll hope for the best. Guys, have a great day, and thank you.
Sounds good, Bob. We appreciate it. You know, and it's Sean Desai, but that's okay. Just so he makes sure. And I don't think he was having fun with it. I think he just misspoke. But you look at it And earlier this week, they were talking about how bad it was. And I think that they used the Bears had like two or three times in the whole, the 30 dropbacks where they used Max Protect, and two or three times when they did play action. And it was just, when you look at the numbers, it's like it, you're not doing anything to help the kid. And when you can't just put your, you know, your old man and Jason Peters on one side and Afedi on the other and expect them to go man-to-man against, you know, Clowney and also Myles Garrett, who had 4.5 sacks. I mean, it was ridiculous. They never chipped. They never helped. They never put a tight end over there. They did none of that stuff. And it just didn't make any sense why you do that. And I know that people said this. No coach in the NFL, no coach in any level, unless you're really petty and you're playing at a kid's level and your kid's not the quarterback, is going to set a quarterback up to fail. Now, Matt Nagy didn't do that on purpose. He may have done it because he's just bad, okay? But nobody sets a quarterback up to fail. And I heard that earlier in the week.
I know, I saw that. People, you know, it's like, it's as if he wanted him to fail and prove to everyone that Dalton was the right choice all along. I don't buy that for a second.
No,
but again, it's either stubbornness or ignorance. Which one is it?
I mean, right.
that you have one game plan, and through all these months from the day you drafted Justin Fields, you know this: the backup quarterback always plays, whether he's the franchise quarterback of the future or just a backup quarterback.
Right.
They play.
Yeah.
So you should have, at the minimum, a skeleton type game plan for when that quarterback goes in there, if he's entirely different from the guy who's starting. And that's where the indictment comes. And it's like Nagy just has his scheme and someone's got to fit the scheme, whether it's Dalton or Fields. And if they don't, he doesn't change the scheme.
Yeah. There were two things. I usually love what Dan Orlovsky says. Okay. Dan Orlovsky on ESPN the other day came out and he said, listen, the Bears organization and Matt Nagy had 149 days to come up with a game plan for when Justin Fields was in. And if that was the game plan they came up with, then, you know, it was so bad. It was brutal. Okay. And he said he should be fired. Okay. That was one thing. But the other thing he said, which I thought was the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Over the top.
He said, if Justin Fields doesn't get in, then he should ask to be traded. That's just the silliest thing. One of the silliest things I've heard in a long time in sports. And that takes in a lot.
It does such a disservice to who Justin Fields seems to be. Right.
Right. Right.
He's not that guy.
No.
He's not a me guy. And you haven't done anything. You've done less than zero right now, given what happened last week. And you're going to go in and pound the table to Ryan Pace or McCaskey and say, I'm out of here. Get rid of. First of all, the league doesn't operate that way. It's not the NBA.
No, it's not. Thank God.
But Dan was on the right track till he jumped the shark there with that last, you know, statement or tweet.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Like I said, I loved everything he said, and then he said that. It's just that was the dumbest thing I said. And I try to be nice. I never swear on Twitter or Facebook or any of the social media things. I try to not even swear on my podcast when I do my podcast. I try not to. Sometimes it's difficult. Let's go to Beverly and Bob. Bob, what's going on today?
How you doing there, Freddie Hubner? Good morning there, sir.
What's up?
All right, look, I just want to say this. I'm going to make it short and sweet. Ryan Pace, he's a dumb tool bag. Matt Nagy is a charlatan and a con man. These guys don't know how to pick a quarterback. Is it possible that they picked the wrong quarterback because Justin Fields wasn't looking that impressive? And I feel like if this kid was such highly touted, he should have been able to do a little bit more than what he did, what we see there on Sunday. Now, I'm scared that these guys are going to sit up there and go back to this Andy Dalton kid, and now we got to sit up here and look at this soft-bellied Andy Dalton, and when he get hurt out there, then we're going to have to go back to this Justin Fields kid, and the kid is obviously not ready. Matt Nagy don't know what he's doing. Ryan Pace doesn't know what he's doing. Is it possible that they just picked the wrong quarterback and we're just starting all over again? These guys don't know what it is to be a Chicago Bear.
Bob, I appreciate the call. It could always be. But I think there were many, many people. And Brian, I don't think I'm wrong here. There were many people that thought that Justin Fields was as good, if not better, than Trevor Lawrence when the draft came up.
Look, if that's the case, if they picked the wrong quarterback, one, it's way too soon to tell.
Right.
I agree with Bob that that he could have probably done some more things than he did. I mean, that it wasn't entirely the game plan or the offensive line.
No, he did some bad stuff. He held onto the ball too long, and he did some other things. But yeah,
if that's the conversation, then then we're really in deep, and there's no turning back. Because when you miss on Mitch Trubisky, it sets back the organization 4 or 5 years. And if you double down on that and get the wrong guy again, with moving up to get Justin Fields, you'll be 3 years into Arlington Heights before you've recovered from this one. And whoever the GM and coach at that time hopefully gets it right. But hopefully they got it right. But I agree with them. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, I've got zero confidence in either one of them. And that's been the case for a couple of years now.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I'm so tired of the whole, we got to get the tight end the ball.
Do it.
Yeah. Here, I want to play this real quick. This is Yurko on Thursday. After Carmen was talking about all the stats, the pre-snap motion and all the other things, Yurko said, listen, football's not that difficult.
First thing I do, give you an idea.
If you're the OC right now?
I'm the offensive coordinator. First thing I do is make Jesse James my starting tight end. First thing. Is that his name, Jesse James?
Yes, correct.
I make him my starting tight end, right?
Okay.
Then I come out, and because they believe he's the blocking tight end, I go and I pass on first and second down with him in there.
I'm telling you, Yurko's already
third,
better than
and
Matt Nagy.
And third, that's when I run, depending upon down and distance. But just to establish that I'm already breaking something that you thought was happening.
Right.
Okay, we can't count on when he's in here, they're going to run all the time.
That's where Yurko's
just
better.
A simple concept, just to see, nothing complicated right there.
Yeah.
That simple. If Cole Kmet can't get off of anybody, all right, then I take Jesse James, right?
Yeah.
You play him at the wing.
Okay.
You take him and you put him outside to see what they're going to do and how they adjust. Even if you play Cole Kmet.
Even if you play 12 personnel in this scenario, you got two on the field.
Put him outside the receiver and see what happens.
I'm telling you.
When you put him outside the receiver, then you dictate or you're asking them, what are you guys going to do? Do you take the backer and do you move him over him? Then they're playing man. Right?
Yeah.
Then they're playing man. If they put him out there and they just bump their coverage and play him with a corner, they're playing zone.
That
tells Fields what he needs to know.
This is what I got
to
do.
This is what we're doing. Tells your receivers what they need to know.
I'm telling you, I would love to drop Yurko in just for the week. I think he'd call a better game than Matt Nagy.
Well, I'd have to learn
100% serious.
I'm a big fan of the Texas
route. I really think you'd call a better game. Like, you're already making more sense than he makes.
Well, these are simple concepts.
These
are not complicated.
That's what's so scary.
And I agree with Carmen. That's what's so scary.
Yeah.
You listen to Yurko and he lays it out like, well, hold it. That sounds so simple. It's not that difficult. Matt Nagy's trying to make it that difficult.
Well, I tweeted out during the game, how's that Cole Kmet pick working out for everyone? And I wasn't slamming Cole Kmet per
se. Not at all. No.
It's if you're going to draft him in the second round, how many years is it going to take till you actually figure out how to best utilize him? And Yurk just gave it to you in 30 seconds.
Yeah. I know. It's real simple. Real, real simple. I actually enjoyed Greg Olson on the color commentary last week, because he was bringing things up and he talked about how they didn't ship and he talked about how they haven't done this and he talked about how they weren't using the tight ends and, a tight end going down the middle of the field in a seam route. Ooh, how nice is that? Oh, Austin Hooper caught a touchdown pass. What happened? That happened against the Bears. You would think that one of the Bears tight ends could do that. That's what a Jimmy Graham is supposed to be for.
Oh. And speaking of Jimmy Graham, I know we got to get to break.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Matt Nagy has never lost the locker room, but there are a few cracks in the wall this week.
Yeah, there certainly were. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Bears and Lions. We'll get to some White Sox stuff. Don't forget, it is Chicago's College Tailgate coming up at 11. As always, another big weekend of college football. Well, they'll be talking about it. Bleck and Abdallah right here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Brian, we talk a lot about the word salad from Matt Nagy, as he doesn't really say a whole lot of anything, but he takes a long time to do that and not say anything. But I've got some quotes here from Mark Patish's column on Friday. The one that says O-line needs to swerve and protect. It says here, Cards James Daniel, Cody Whitehair, Senator Sam Mustipher didn't fare much better than Jermaine Effetti and Jason Peters. The entire line was overwhelmed. Then Juan Castillo, who we've been told, and I know that Yurko is one of the things that irks him the most. He brings it up a lot. He said, when they asked about how has the offensive line improved last year, they said, well, we've got Juan Castillo.
Right.
So anyway, Castillo said fundamentals, just being consistent with our technique, that's the thing we can correct and work on. I'm sorry. These guys are professionals in the National Football League. If they can't get the damn fundamentals down, we're in a lot more trouble than just, you know, having one bad game against those guys.
No, I mean, but it falls on Ryan Pace. Jason Peters, God bless him.
Yep.
He's 39. He looked every bit of it last week.
Oh, again, he sure did.
You didn't help him out.
No.
And here's a guy who was out fishing when the phone rang. Okay.
Yep.
But he's available and they're paying him. And he said, sure, I'll give it another go. This roster on with the Phantom GM, you're not going to hear from him till the end of the season if he's still around. But he puts this together, hands it to the coaching staff, says good luck. Jimmy Graham retweeted the stat: Bears average 1.1 yards per play versus the Browns, second fewest by any team in a game in this century. Immediately after the game,
yes,
and also Nick Foles, who. His name was brought up. Matt Nagy even said, well, everything's on the table. Nick Foles might start. He was caught on the sideline. You could read his lips. This offense isn't working. So you got two guys really, and one guy, Nick Foles, not being used at all. Jimmy Graham, why is he here if you're not going to use him? At least he made his money in the red zone last year, right?
Right. Yes, he did.
And Nagy was asked about it. He said, well, that's frustration. Everyone's frustrated after a loss like that. Those two, certainly Jimmy Graham is the leader in that locker room for the offense. I don't know what standing Nick Foles has at this point. But when you have guys who've been around the game for a long time, one just giving you an observation, the offense doesn't work, and everyone could see that. And the other guy reiterating and cementing the fact that this is woeful for the century. It's starting to slip the old hold on the personnel in the locker room, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I'm looking at their receiving stats. Through 3 weeks, okay? Through 3 weeks, Jimmy Graham has one catch for 11 yards.
Yep.
And Cole Kmet has 7 for 53 yards. Allen Robinson, the guy that wanted more money and then he settled for the franchise tag, 3 games again, 10 catches, 86 yards.
Yep. He's not going to get paid with those numbers.
No, not at all. And so you can understand, frustration from everybody on the offensive side. One other thing that Bill Lazor said, again, from Mark Potash's column yesterday, he says, it's hard to have that many pass protection issues and not honestly say it was shared. Scheme, throwing the ball on time, technique, do we have more answers and different things we could do? And, obviously the answer is yes, you can. And hopefully they can do that. He says the players have to look in the mirror. Okay, this is what I saw on film, so be ready. And then as an offense, we have to make sure, okay, this is what they're going to see, so we better solve it. And, when you looked at the Cleveland Browns going into last week's game, Clowney was on one side, Myles Garrett was on the other. It didn't take a genius to say going into that game, we've got to try and find a way to slow them down.
Correct.
And it doesn't look like anything was done because Myles Garrett was it really looked like he was, a man playing, peewee football. He was just coming in whenever he wanted to. And Peters kept taking the guy inside. And I couldn't quite figure out why he was not blocking the guy that's got, a lot of sacks and is known for getting around the end.
Well, look, and Bill Lazor said that the offense has adjustments built into it.
Right.
And basically said we didn't adjust.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of an indictment of Matt Nagy. And again, Parham went through all the numbers, and the eye test told you they were a better offense last year when Bill Lazor took over the play calling. And Frank Thomas had a sit down with Matt Nagy, and so I benched myself because it wasn't working. But he immediately took it back starting the season. I guarantee you, I'll be shocked if Bill Lazor isn't calling the plays tomorrow. And it probably wasn't Matt Nagy's suggestion at the beginning of the week.
Yeah. And, the thing about not firing a coach in the middle of the year, I can't imagine that the McCaskies, after giving the vote of confidence to both of these guys, would do anything during the course of the year. They've never done it before. I can't imagine them doing it now. So it's kind of pointless. I brought this up on Monday. It's kind of pointless to sit there and be as frustrated as you are yelling for the firing of Matt Nagy. I mean, you may want it, but you got to look at their past history.
Unless you think he's going to do damage to Justin Fields and guys like Mike North and passionately believe that he damaged Mitch Trubisky. Trubisky would be a better quarterback today had Matt Nagy not been the guy molding him in the first 3-4 years of his career. So that's the only thing. I don't think Matt Nagy is going to become Jim Boylan, the former Bulls coach, the first week of being hired, mentioned Pop's name, Greg Popovich's name, like way too often. I texted Casey Johnson, say, hey, limit up on Pop references. Tell him, stop. He's not Pop. He's on his staff.
Sure.
This guy ain't Andy Reid.
Okay? No, he's not.
And I guarantee you, if he got fired Monday because they lost the Lions, I don't think Andy Reid wants him landing back in Kansas City either.
No. Not the way he called plays on the six games that they gave him the opportunity to. 312-332-3776. We'll continue some Bears conversation. We got to get into some White Sox stuff. We're here till 11 o'clock before Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000.